story. I figured that out over 50 years ago. We have a little right. She hands me the check. I sign it. She takes it. And sometimes she gives me a little money and go along with it. But my, it kind of takes me back to the days when the parents doled out a little something, you know, to keep you happy for a little bit. You know, we're really blessed. Yeah, my wife is a great blessing. I really appreciate her so much. And I appreciate all the blessings we have. We have so many blessings here. I appreciate the blessings of the people who care about God and want to study His Word. But you know, one of the major things that we are so blessed with is that we come with an operator's manual. Problem is that many times people don't use it until nothing else works. And then they check it, maybe. Or maybe they don't know that it's there. And this morning I want to share with you how to study to show yourself approved. I just came back from a conference here recently out in Iowa, or Missouri, Branson, Missouri. I spoke on seminars there three times, and I shared three different sections of this kind of a study. The first one having to do with what the Bible actually says about how to study. And the second is techniques and tips of how to study. And later on maybe we'll show that one. And then the materials and resources and things to use for study. Study is of the Word of God is a wonderful thing. When I was a young man or young person, I loved to read, and my dad had a library. He liked lots of books, and I have lots of books too because of it now. I love to read. I'm getting harder to do that. A little more difficult now, but reading the Word of God is a wonderful thing. But at that time, I read all kinds of books, but there was this one black book in the library that I tried to read and I couldn't understand it. Have you ever had trouble with that? Have you read the Bible, tried to first get into it, and maybe you see the these and the thous and thines and thys and various other archaic terminology that we're not used to. And to me, I just couldn't understand it. It didn't make any sense. Until some years later, when I was invited to go to church and started in Bible classes and listening, and I began to realize the importance of this book for guiding my life. The answers it has. You know, it's written over a period of 1,500 years, some 40, some writers. It has all kinds of literature in it. Poetry, proverbs, history, things for how to live and how to die. It has the answer to where I came from and why I'm here and where I'm going. Amazing, amazing book. And when I got into it, I was so fascinated that I just couldn't put it down. I used to take, carry a little Bible with me, these little Gideon Bibles. And when we were in school, in those days, they used to give out Gideon Bibles to the students at school, and the Catholic kids would give me theirs. And so I would carry one with me, and I would write in it, and in between classes, And sometimes I stay up all night reading the Bible. It just became amazing. It just opened up a whole new world. And it's a shame that so many times people aren't convinced. They don't know the books. They don't know the organization of the books. They don't know what kind of materials it is. They just, if the Bible talks about, Jesus talked about the treasure hidden in the field. Now when you open it, and you can look at all these amazing things. It is a powerful book. Well, the sermon this morning has to do with what God says about how to read the Bible. And I'm going to show you a lot of scriptures. This is one of those baloney sermons. You know, good any place you cut it off. It's just scripture after scripture. And this one thing that I like to do, I like to just get into the scripture and just share that. I'm not much for fancy, fang-dangled sermons that carry them off the people and, you know, sweep them off their feet and all those. I'm just plain meat and potatoes and born, raised on a farm and still got hay seeds. But I like to just look at what the Word of God says. Just the plain, good stuff you can get there. So this morning we're going to talk about how to read, or how to study, how to understand the Bible. And I teach these in our college classes. We just finished up the whole Bible recently. And we've covered every book in the Bible, looked at the organizations, and done some fairly in-depth study. So let's take a look here. Basic scripture teaching on how to study God's Word. That's what we're talking about here. You can study a lot of things in life, and there are a lot of fun things to study. I want to be a scientist at one time, and I still enjoy reading scientific materials. And it's a hobby in a way. But you know, this is so much greater and more depth, because that's only what the Creator did. And this is what the Creator says. Good Bible study begins with a student who is good. If you want to study the Bible, you need to be a person who is a good person. Matthew 22:37-39 says, Jesus said unto them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's the first commandment. And a great commandment. It starts right there, and if you want to be a good Bible student, you need to start with that. The relationship you have with God is going to determine what you get out of what He says. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That love for your fellow man modifies and becomes a God-like characteristic that helps you to understand what God says. If you're in conflict with what God says in your relationship, you're going to have a hard time understanding what God says. Matthew 7:5 says, "First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye." Is that a good principle? How are you going to understand the Bible? How are you going to help someone else? You can't solve your own problems. So it starts here. You need an honest and good heart. If a person isn't honest, if he insists that he's going to make the Bible fit what he wants, and that's what an awful lot of religion is doing today, make it fit the contemporary standards. Why does God have to fit the contemporary standards? Shouldn't we fit God's standards? That's the principle of it. we need to go by. In an honest and good heart. Luke 8:15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You see those three principles right there? Make a good sermon right there. You have an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. You know, we're intended to bring forth fruit. We weren't intended to just cumber the ground. A piece of brush, maybe with pretty flowers, and never produces anything. But it starts with a good and honest heart. And it starts with hearing the word. And keeping the word. And then bring forth fruit. Proverbs 9:9-10 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, if we have the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. Now I say, oh, you're going to preach fear? Yeah. Sometimes people need to be afraid of what they're going to do wrong. There's a good reason for fear. Fear isn't the end. Fear is the beginning. Love and peace of God is the end, the hada. And that's what if we won't listen to love, then ultimately we're going to have to face the fear. The beginning of wisdom starts with the fear of God. Respect, not just terror, but respect for God, what it's presenting. To be a good student, you need to love the truth. John 17:17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's truth. People could debate all the time about, what is truth? Remember, Pilate said, what is truth? Cynical, cold, hopeless, meaningless. And that's the problem with the world. And they challenge everything, they contradict everything, they twist everything, bend everything, and make it fit what they want rather than learning the real truth here. The Word of God. This sets you on the right track. This opens the mind. This clears the head. So you can see clearly. This is the truth. Thy word is truth. John 8:32. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now they said, we're not in bondage to any man. But Jesus said, he that does sin is in bondage to sin. You want to be free, it starts here with the truth of God. If you don't know the truth, you're never going to get free. True freedom comes from having freedom in our relationship with God, freeing our mind. You know, when people do wrong, they get hung up on it. Sin is addictive, and it taints the mind, it distorts the mind, it makes it so we see what we want instead of seeing what is real. And how do you know the truth except from the one who knows the truth, who is the truth? The truth will make you free. You want freedom? You want real freedom? And start here. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire this, that you may grow. If you want to grow, then you need to know have the right feed. You know, if you're fed with the wrong stuff, your growth is going to be stunted. It's not going to be good, sound, wholesome. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Here's where the problems come in our society. People that can't figure it out. We got all these problems. People killing each other. People stealing from each other. Prisons are filled. We can't pay enough of them, so we got to. Oh, there's so many of them in there that we got to let them out. The world is a mess. People don't want to look at it, but it's a mess. If you don't believe me, leave something valuable sitting on your front lawn. See what happens. You know? Have you ever noticed these things? Ever thought about them? Why are there so many of them? You know, these locks, I think we did $400 worth of locks around here. Just redoing them. Something like that. It was quite a bit, anyway. That's because there's so much sin in the world. That's because people don't listen to God. You can't trust each other. Because people are not right with God. If they're right with God, then you should be able to trust them. And they get into the church, unfortunately, and sometimes steal from each other. That's too bad. But we try to provide a haven here and to help people to solve those problems and get away from them. When people don't receive the love of the truth, then they have a mess. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. We need the truth. The truth from God, and not the truth that people make up. We need eyes that see and ears that hear. Matthew 13:13 through 16 says, "Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So he says, that's why I speak to them this way. They're not hearing. They don't want to hear. So he says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive." People are blind to the plainest, most obvious things. They can't see. I'm amazed. You know, they say, well, on the one hand, they're saying, all the stuff that's garbage that we get on television, violence and sex and all that stuff, doesn't have any effect. I mean, that's just innocent stuff. On the other hand, they're paying billions of dollars to advertise on the boob tube in order to get people to do what they want. Well, if it doesn't do and have any effect, then why do it? Why spend the money? Why? They don't hear, and they don't see, and therefore God just says, okay, that's the way you want, go ahead. For this people's heart is waxed gross. That's the problem. Jesus said that the problem comes from the heart. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So we need to open our eyes to the truth and then we can really see. And we're not hung up. As I started to say before, sin is addictive. And when we get hung up, we don't have... The person who is hooked on alcohol is not free. He's not free. He has to keep going back and going back because he's hooked. The person who's hooked on gambling is not free. He has to keep going back and going back. The person who is hooked on sex is not free. God tells us how to deal with these things. And if we don't listen to His Word, then we're not going to be free. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. If we listen to God's Word, then we can see and hear and have a balanced and understanding view of what's really taking place. Matthew 13:9 says, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." Listen. Listen up. My parents used to say, "Listen up. Pay attention." Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here's how you're going to get faith. It comes by hearing the word of God. If we won't listen to it, then we're not going to get it. Hebrews 5:11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." People are dull of hearing, they're not going to listen. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." You know, if we just want to please ourselves, if we want God to fit us, if we want to, if we're going to say, "Well, I want it my way, don't tell me those things are wrong. Don't tell me that I'm wrong in the way I'm behaving." If we only want to go where where we hear what we want to hear, then we're in trouble. We're not going to get the truth. We're going to get the falsehood. Because there's always somebody who's willing to scratch it. You know, they're willing to tickle our ears. I've said many times, if you don't like the Word of God here, where we're trying to go what the Word of God says and not what the popular thing is, then go to the Church of the Itching Ears down the street. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and it shall be turned unto fables." People like the world, atheists, like to say, "Well, the Bible is a bunch of fables." Well, I'll tell you, the people who are really following fables are the people who are making huge assumptions and guesses about things that they cannot come near to understanding, and they want to tell us, "Well, we have the facts." They weren't there. They're giving you all kinds of guesswork, and they're mixing, sure, they mix some truth with it, and it makes it sound good, but you're being taken for a sucker. The devil is behind the whole thing. Ephesians 4:18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." This is why people can't study the Bible and understand it. Their understanding is darkened because they're alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The God of this world, the devil, blinded their minds, blinded their hearts. They don't know it. Of course, like one woman told me, "Well, what if you don't believe in the devil?" Okay. I think the devil's very happy with that. He don't want you to believe in him. It might be a scary thought if you had to face him, actually see him. But believe me, someday you'll be with him if you don't listen to God. If you want to be a good student, you need to diligently study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent," or study, depending on the translation. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. That it's just full of good stuff. Diligent study results in being approved unto God. If you put it into practice, at least. Show yourself approved unto God. That's the purpose. I want to show myself approved to God. I want to please Him. A workman, you need to do something about it, you know. It's not just something that you put on the shelf. That needs not to be ashamed, handling it right, the Word of God. We need to learn how to handle it right. Jesus asked him, he said, how do you read? Or, how readest thou? Use your time wisely. You know, people just waste their time and all kinds of, sit and watch the idiot box for hours and hours and hours, and then when you get to church, you mean you're preaching more than 20 minutes? Well, yeah, we do. Because the less you get exposed to the truth, the less truth you're going to get. I don't make apologies for preaching the word and going to the Bible instead of to all the modern fluff and junk, cotton candy sermons. But use your time wisely. Do you work at it? Do you put some real time? How much? When did you last open this? You know? Does it just, is it from week to week and you carry it to church? Or do you even bring it to church? I won't ask how many people have got a Bible here. Use your time wisely. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see then that you walk uprightly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Your time is slipping away. I keep looking at this time clock of my life, and it keeps getting shorter on one end and longer on the other. You know, what's the past? I can't even remember the past, a lot of it. But I can sure see that time getting shorter here now at 70. I just passed the 78 mark, milestone. And I don't really know how many more you got, you know. So you begin thinking, well, maybe I better get to work, do something. Hebrews 5:12. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. How many does that fit? You know, a lot of times in our Bible school classes and our study and things like that, we come together primarily to exchange our mutual ignorance. Instead of genuinely studying, how much real study do we put in? How much do we really use the time for God? Meditate. We need meditation on the Word. You know what the word meditation means? I don't think it's the stuff that you get in the Orient, you know, where you stand on your head and hang your feet over or whatever. The meditation I'm talking about is letting it seep into your heart and soul, reading it, getting acquainted with it, listening to it. You're going to have to go where it's being taught. You're going to have to pick up the book and read it. And it's going to take a little bit of effort. Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man. Blessed, get that? Happy. We have great blessing. Blessed is the man that walks, and women too, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. need to learn how to, not just where we should be, we need to learn how to stay, places we need to stay away from. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Wonderful. To meditate on God's word, begin to understand and see the wonderful powers and the great and wonderful things that are there that can make our lives change, and the change of lives of our children, and change of our lives of our friends and our people around us. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I see so many failures in the world. Yes, rich ones. People who have no hope. They have no real values that are really going to ultimately make any difference. Like Solomon said, vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. And that's what people put their values into. But the person who meditates on the law of the Lord, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to bring forth fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 20 says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. When was the last time you bought something that was a scriptural, religious type article for your kids? You think about that. People spend lots of money on all kinds of the world stuff. But how many times have you been to a Bible bookstore and picked up some really neat toys or books or things like that that would encourage your children? Do we have things like that around the house? Or is it all the worldly junk stuff that's passing away? And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Ask of God for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. That's another one of those neat things about how to be a good Bible student. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask of God. It gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given to him. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Did you ever think about that? How many times have you done that? You know, we really aren't very smart. We may think we are. But I'll tell you, one of the smartest things you can do is ask God for wisdom. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He had to ask in faith and trust in God. Ephesians 1, 17, 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God is the one who gives answer to prayer. And if we ask God, he's the one who can give us wisdom. By the way, do you know the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is what you do with it. What you have the judgment to use it right. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Isn't it wonderful that God, in his manual for how to handle and use things and do things, when he made us, he provided the wisdom we need. He provided the answers that we need. Exercising our senses to distinguish good and evil. We need to put some mental exercise. People want to just come and kind of be exposed. Kind of soak it up maybe by osmosis. Hopefully somebody will say something that will touch me. You know? But what about doing some exercise? You're going to become a good runner or a good jumper? You're going to become a top athlete by sitting on the bench waiting for it to be get the thing kind of soaked into you? You think so? Not a bit. Need to exercise. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. You need to grow up. Even those who by reason of their senses exercise, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to exercise our senses. We need to put some work into it, some effort into it, learning it. Just kind of coming to Bible class is not going to do it. You need to put some... Do you memorize Scripture? Do you read it? Do you write down the things and organize them and put some effort into it? Ask the Jessies over there. I make them exercise. Yeah, we've exercised them a lot. They had to learn the outlines of every book in the Bible. Respect the Scripture. Respect Scriptural authority. You know, if you don't respect Scriptural authority, how are you ever going to learn anything from it? 2 Peter 1, 20-21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is from private interpretation. You need to recognize that it didn't come from somebody's private interpretation. That is where the word comes. Some people want to interpret this and want to say, well, it means that you should never interpret the Bible. That's your interpretation. That isn't what it's talking about at all. That isn't your interpretation. It isn't the right interpretation. The interpretation is prophecy didn't come from old time by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe that, if you don't know that, if you don't want to know that, then you're not going to be much of a Bible student. Because you're going to be listening to everybody else instead of listening to what God said. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. The rationalization of men isn't going to cut it. They're never going to find God by rationalizing what they want. You'll find God by seeking God in the way He reveals Himself. Don't learn to your own understanding. Go to Him. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. And that from a child, he's speaking to Timothy, Paul is speaking to Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scripture, wonderful mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who taught him when he was a little boy. Isn't that neat? When I was a kid, my mother did some teaching of me. I remember the little prayer that I learned, and it had an influence, I think. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Wasn't much, but it sure was a beginning. I still remember it. 78 years old. And I still remember that little poem that I learned on my knees alongside the bed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable. Get that. It's profitable. For doctrine, for teaching, as the word doctrine means to teach. For reproof, that is to help us to correct ourselves. And for correction, this word here means to get on our case for instruction in righteousness. How to live right. What is right? We need to learn how to live right. Righteousness. That the man of God may be complete. You want to be a good student? You want to be a complete student? You want to be, or you want to be just a little has-been? God dabbled a little of this and dabbled a little of that and don't know much about any of it. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This will lead you out all the sociology and all the phony stuff that people make up in the world doesn't begin to cut the key things that you get out of God's Word. He tells you how to live that really works. It isn't something that just changes every generation or so, and as people throw this out and bring this in and try this and hopefully maybe this will make a change. This works. Thoroughly furnished to all good works. You know, another thing that's good is having reliable counselors. The Bible talks about that. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. We need to have good, reliable counselors. Don't just rely on our thing, our own self. You know, you can get some by listening to different people and sharing with good counsel. You can correct some of the mistakes you make. Yeah, we all make them. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." That's a good statement of it. Some people spend their time with foolish people. They run around in cars, chase and drive, you know, with people that act like they didn't know up from down. And then they wonder, why, what's happened to me? Why do I get into trouble? Why am I always into trouble? Why can't I make the right decisions? Well, if you're a companion of fools, how do you expect to make right decisions? Go to people who are spiritual and be their companions. And maybe you can learn from each other. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. People who really care about you. The people who are out there to sell you a product or hook you into some organization or get you into some political nonsense, they're not the people who really care about your souls. They're using you. The devil uses you. Go to those who watch for your souls, who care about what happens. They'll still be there. Remember, mom and dad will still be there. And especially the Christians will still be there when you've made a total mess of your life. Maybe been in jail or whatever. And they will still be there waiting and wanting to help you to solve problems. Why do people never get it? They go down the road, out into the swamps, farther and farther, always making failure, things going wrong, and they don't get enough good sense to realize that they're going the wrong direction. You need to go back where they came from. And that's one of the nice things. Parents, your kid may get hooked up with somebody and take off in the wrong direction. But listen, teach it. Stand for what's right. Don't compromise. Because when they've tried all the other things and made a mess of everything, they're more likely to think back and say, you know, back home, things were different. If you set them a good example, they'll at least have a place to come back to if they make stupid mistakes. they watch in behalf of your souls as they that must give account. Your leadership of the church has to give account to God that they may do it with joy. You know, the greatest joy that I have is seeing people, young people, even if they made terrible mistakes, get right with God. When they do what is right and their lives start shaping up and they have good quality lives, and they, that's the kind of thing that is my joy. I'm not here to make money, I'll tell you. What I like most, I have two main things. One is I want to please God, and the other is, and it's related, I want to see you young people succeed. I want to see you avoid the pitfalls of the others that are making a mess of their lives. I want to see you have blessings, multiple blessings, overwhelming blessings, filled up, overflowing. That's my happiness. That's my pleasure. That's what I really like. And the thing that grieves my soul is to look back to those who have made a mess of their lives. And I feel terribly sad when I look at the old pictures of the church and things like that and see this one and that one and some other one who now has made a mess. And divorces, suicides, murders, jails. Oh, church is that way? That's right. It happens, unfortunately. And I don't feel condemning. I feel condemning of the devil. I feel condemning of the world that destroys. But I am grieved to see the shame and the problems that people have because they didn't listen to God. Well, I told you this was a baloney sermon. We're going to cut it off. We're not at the end. We can go quite a bit more. And if you want more, I think Jeff has put the paper that covers all of this on our website, or at least hopefully it'll be there. And you can go there and read more. But maybe I'll give you the second sermon later on the same thing. But you know, we are so blessed that we have some place to go. We can search the scriptures, and we know these answers were tried and true over thousands of years. They work. They will work for you. They work for them. It's not outdated. It's 2,000 years ahead of the stuff that we're getting fed by the world. So this morning as we stand and we're going to sing our song of invitation, just a closer walk with thee. That's the solution. Get to the word. Get a hold of this word. Get into it. Feel your life. Meditate on it. And have the fruit that God provides. Just a closer walk with thee. God.